At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi everyone, welcome to Vedic Astrology Study Podcast. Through this medium, I cover a breadth of some basic principles and analysis of the beautiful ancient science of Jyotish, gifted to humanity by wise ancient seers of India. Typically, there are playlists of different kinds with case studies to have a practical grounding of those principles. In this series, which will become a part of the Panchanga playlist, I am covering the science of Muhurta, or the timing of events, activities, dietary control, tuning your attitude to any given day of the month, since this is a lunar calendar. As per Vedic astrology, the human being should regulate their daily activities in alignment with the lunar cycle and the corresponding tithi of the day. You might say this is the beginning of the use of science of Jyotish consciously, with awareness and in full view of self and this space-time reality we find ourselves in. Since this deals with your everyday cycle of energies that each of us deals with on a daily basis, it's a good beginning point to start Jyotish with Panchanga study first, before you get to the charts part. If you do not know what your current tithi is, where you are on the planet, you can download the Jyotish app, which is indicated on the slide with its logo, on Android or iPhone store. Download it, set its location to wherever you are on the planet. Then click on Muhurta and Panchanga part as is shown on the slide, and it will tell you the current Panchanga aspects, the Tithi, the Vara, the Karana, Yoga and Nakshatra, which is typically where moon is transiting over. Then use these series as a study material to guide your daily activities, diet, attitude for any given day. The way I shall cover each tithi here begins with the element and deity, followed by the energy of the day, what to do, what to avoid, suggested mindset, elementary dietary consideration, and the content is covered both for Shukla Paksha and Krishna Paksha tithis. For the basics of this, see the previous tithi videos in this playlist. Let's get started. Now let's look at 8th tithi of Ashtami. On the pie chart there it is marked, isn't it? On the Shukla side, the waxing side, is Shukla Ashtami, and on the Krishna side it is Krishna Ashtami. It's a Jaya Tithi, the second one after the third one. That's tiny box you can read out there. Tritiya was the first. This is the second of the Jaya Tithis, victory and success, and the last one being the Trayodashi, both on the Krishna side and the Shukla side. So what's the general energies of this particular Tithi? Okay, Ashtami number 8. Ashtami, the energetic quality, is a Jaya Tithi, which bestows forceful, victorious energy. However, the nature of this victory is often through intensity and transformation. Think the 8th house, think Scorpio in natal chart, isn't it? You have to understand that everything in Vedic astrology is numerological, it's mathematical, and it's precise, and it has got a pattern of correlation. Once you begin the study, systematic study of this, which I hope to get in this channel with whatever I have done and to come, it will give the student or one who is interested in learning a broader view of how one thing ties to the other. It invariably does in Vedic astrology, so far what I have seen with my studies. The number 8 has significance in many traditions as a point of power, and indeed Ashtami is known for its fierce and transformative qualities. Look at the Shakti involved. It's the goddess energy of divine feminine in its fierce form. The presiding deities are Vasus. The 8 Vasus are the elemental gods. Now we are talking at an elemental level, not at the human level, which tie this day to natural forces, material prosperity. Notably, in the Vedic tradition, 2 divine births occurred on Ashtami. Lord Krishna, first of all, Janmashtami it is called, Shravana Krishna Ashtami, which comes in the Shravana month, okay, in August, usually every month. And then there is, on the eastern side of India, there is Goddess Durga, heavily celebrated in Bengal, which is Shukla Ashtami during Navratri, which is going on now or just finished. We have crossed Dashera, so yeah, we are going towards Diwali. These events highlight spiritual potency of Ashtami. It is considered a day when the divine energy intervenes powerfully in the world. Look, you have to bring in Shaktis, Devi or Devta Shaktis, in whatever way is needed for your life. It's a selective approach to take the energy that is divine, that is consciousness, and apply it specifically coordinated with your timing. The science of Vedic astrology is called Hora Shastra, the science of timing. And Muhurta, more than anything else, this form of electional astrology is all about timing your events. Back to Ashtami. These events highlight spiritual potency of Ashtami. It is considered a day when divine energy intervenes powerfully in the world. Ashtami carries high Shakti power, especially divine feminine power. You might say it's like the Rudra form of the feminine, like Durga, like Kali. It is a tithi born of celebration and discipline, often involving fasting and intense spiritual practice in the living Vedic traditions of India. Janmashtami, fasting till midnight, till Lord Krishna was born. Durga Ashtami, fasting and worship during Navratri, the nine nights. The atmosphere of Ashtami can be described as vibrant, intense and result-oriented. If you want to delve into it, and I have quite a bit, and I have a resonance with Divine Feminine, I must tell you that the Deva Shaktis, let's say you go to Shiva or Vishnu, they are much more milder than if you go to the Shakti energies. Divine Feminine takes no prisoners. She is out there. She is out there getting stuff. Just like the little embodifications of feminine we have called women are very active, you see, compared to the male principle. Males are generally passive if you see it from the consciousness perspective. They are more peaceful. They are more Shiva-like. So this is a very vibrant, intense, result-oriented Shakti energy on Ashtami. Therefore, it is encouraging works of courage, strategy and quick success on this day. It is not mild, it is not the easygoing type, but it is auspicious, more warrior-like. Many people consider Ashtami somewhat hard energy for casual events, because this is not a casual energy, simple. Defense recommended activities now. Defense, security and conflict resolution. Ashtami's Jaya energy, Jaya means victory, okay, is great for tackling adversaries or a competition. It's an auspicious time for fortification and defense type of activities. For example, strengthening one's business position against competitors, implementing security measures at home, or even military game exercises, military strategies, so on. In personal life, you need to confront an issue or a competitor. Ashtami gives you that upper hand. Of course, you have to be ethical there. Debates and legal battles initiated or fought can be good on Ashtami in your favor, provided you have truth on your side. Durga, Goddess Durga, is going in for the truth, protection of the truth, destruction of the shadow, you might say. Construction and crafts is another good day on Ashtami. The classic texts say Ashtami is good for architecture, construction and craft related activities. This implies it's a productive day to work on building projects or hands-on type of activity or projects. Perhaps the focus and stamina are high, therefore you have to accomplish a lot of tasks. If you're building something physically or metaphorically, Ashtami helps solidify it. Remember, always check the illumination. Now we are going crossed the middle point of Saptami, so we are going towards full waxing or towards full waning. So the energy gets quite intense as you move towards the new moon, Amavasya, or towards the full moon. Sports and physical challenges. Ashtami favors sports, physical training and competition. Think Tritiya. You started Tritiya. First Jaya was in Tritiya Tithi. Now we have come to Ashtami, the second of that, which is more intense than Tritiya. The body's energy and reflexes may be heightened. Athletes might perform well on this day, and one can push their personal limits of power. It's a good day to strive for personal bests in the gym or on the field, or if you're participating in game or athletics or race. Another good activity on Ashtami is business and financial deals. It is listed as auspicious for commencing business activities. If you want to venture to have a winning drive, so to speak, start on an Ashtami. It can be beneficial. It's also good for buying gems and jewelry. I'm never much of a fan of this because it has become a racket of jewelers just selling lots of metal and stones. Consciousness is you and me as consciousness. Are far more than any sticks and stones. Therefore, I am not a fan of just selling gems and jewelry. Deals requiring bold decisions or negotiations might reach successful conclusion on this day. Another good activity is dancing and performing arts. Look, you're finding a trend, isn't it? If you are really learning this stuff, between the 3rd and 8th, there is a commonality. Interestingly, dance is specifically mentioned among auspicious activities. For Ashtami. Ashtami can channel creative expression with intensity. So performing arts like dance, drama or any art that involves vigor and precision like martial art demonstrations or energetic music performances, or these days you have the Zumba or even Tango or even Tai Chi. Tai Chi is more mild. Think bold expressions. If you're an artist, use Ashtami's expression or inspiration to work on something that requires deep emotive, physical power or technical skill. Spiritual practices of ritual power are also good on this day because it's Durga Shakti. Ashtami is extremely potent for spiritual pursuits, especially those involving Tantra Sadhana or Devi Shakti Sadhana or Divine Feminine Energy or Fierce Devotion. Think Lalita Sahasranama. I've already made a whole series on it if you want to listen. The 8th Tithi of Shukla Paksha in Ashwin is Mahashtami, one of the peak days of Durga Navratri, when devotees perform intense prayers to Goddess Durga in the form of Chamundi or Mahagauri. Similarly, Krishna Paksha Ashtami in Bhadrapada is Janmashtami, celebrated with a day-long fast and night vigil for Lord Krishna's birth. This is a very ancient culture. This is the only one of its kind on the planet, which has still preserved all its tradition to a greater or lesser degree. That's different. So you have to study the entire Vedic tradition as a package. You can't separate things and find out one piece here, one piece there and say this is right and that is wrong. That would be seriously a foolish error. Anyway, back to Ashtami. It's ideal for intensive prayer, fasting, tantric sadhana. Everything tantric is Devi Shakti, by the way, and connected with divine power. If you want to undertake a strong vrata or a vow, or not just necessarily of chastity and stuff like that, but strong disciplinary vows, like let's say you want to diet and you want to start on this day, say, okay, I'm going to decide so and so and so, make a list, make intention and start it. Ashtami is a good day. Initiate a transformative spiritual practice, like starting to chant a powerful mantra, of course, in Lalita Sahasranama. Ashtami is highlighted if you want to look that up. Doing Homa or fire ceremony for protection in the house. If there is a lot of dead energy in the house, in your house, and it is not surprising this day people carry all kinds of energy now, do a fire ceremony. The way a fire ceremony clears all these nonsensical energies in the house is best to bring in Agni there and do it on an Ashtami day. It is supported. It will multiply 8 times, so to speak. Activities to avoid. Ashtami's energy, while auspicious for many things, is not gentle. Therefore, generally not chosen for peaceful, family-oriented, auspicious ceremonies like marriages or baby showers. Many consider Ashtami too sharp or intense. It's like taking a knife and cutting across things. But typically, Hindu marriage muhurta avoid Ashtami because of its warlike undertone. Avoid scheduling weddings on Ashtami. Also, traveling on Ashtami can be okay, but if it's a leisure trip, be mindful that things might get intense. Okay, try and avoid, I would say. If Ashtami falls on a Sunday or a Monday, it might be a bad combination. Another thing to avoid is legal contracts or peace treaties. Say this is a warrior-like energy. In the middle of the war, you can't call peace. Okay, something like that. It'll be contradictory. If you're in a position of strength, Jayatithi ensures a winner and a loser. So if you're compromising on Ashtami, you might be inadvertently put yourself on the losing side. Don't start something that requires very calm, nourishing and diplomatic atmosphere and energies. It's the energies of the day, folks. Muhurta is the signs of energies of the day. Okay? The war of Mahabharata began on Ashtami. Okay? Suggested mindset for this day is determined courage, spiritually attuned, that sort of an energy. Embrace your inner warrior and worship on Ashtami. Tune into Durga, tune into Kali, tune into Goddess Lalita, all feminine, intense energies. This day to be bold and fearless in pursuit of what is right. A disciplined and focused mind. Many people find their concentration is sharpened on Ashtami, so it is ideal directed towards your goals. You might say this tithi is the amplification of the third one, the Tritiya. At the same time, maintain moral clarity. Something lacking in this day and age. Everybody's running out of money and bank accounts. So, channel Krishna's righteousness. Krishna is the epitome of righteousness. He tried to stop all the war and fighting, ironically. Keep faith that higher powers support you. Great mindset is a devotional fervor. Mix your worldly efforts with prayer. For example, before an important task, take the moment to involve Durga or Krishna or your Ishta Devata, the one God that you kind of resonate with. There are lots of them in Vedic tradition. Pick your one which you are most resonant with, that is Ishta Devata. This synergy of human effort and divine grace is potent on this day. If you're fasting or spiritual practices, be resilient. This day's Shakti can help you go beyond your usual limits. Try to ride the wave of intensity rather than suppress it. Nothing can be suppressed on this day. It wants to go out and get stuff done in a very aggressive way this day. Practicing introspection, still on my second cup of tea, is also recommended. Ashtami can bring subconscious things to the surface. Half waning moon can stir hidden emotions on the Krishna side of it. We shall see the details further on. So, advice is to witness any inner turmoil and direct it to transformation, like fasting. Give a little less food to the body and bring it more towards your breath and mind, and observe. Joy and ferocity in your mindset is as appropriate as can be. Take it in the context of what is appearing in your life. Lastly, maintain respect for cosmic power. Humble yourself before divine mothers. Okay? Diet. Recommended diet now. From the Ayurvedic perspective, Ashtami often comes with traditions of fasting, special diet. Fasting. Many people on Shukla and Krishna Ashtami for religious reasons do fasting. Durga Ashtami, for example, or Janmashtami. The day Durga was born, the day Krishna was born. Kanya Puja or girl worship also is done. She is the divine representative in a junior form, isn't it? They make things like Suji Halwa or Kala Chana, that is black Indian chickpeas, and Puri offered to the goddess. Janmashtami devotees typically fast all day long and did break the fast until midnight when Krishna was born. So plan wisely for fast. Traditional fasting foods for Ashtami might include dairy, milk, yogurts, fruits and nuts, and certain root vegetables like potato or sweet potato. Flours like buckwheat or water chestnut. Flour to make permissible dishes. This is a specific regime if you want to look that up. If not fasting fully, consider light meals. See, the energy is too strong. If you keep loading up your body with food, it's not going to help, isn't it? You need to be light on your tummy in order to move with this day's energies. That's simple, folks. Instead, stick to fresh fruits, milk, yogurt, nuts, simple vegetable dishes and non-grain flours. These provide nourishment without dulling the mind. When the energy of the day is increasing, putting you on a running path, you want to say, I want to take a slow day and rest. I mean, how's that going to help? spices, less spices. Don't make it more spicy. You are exciting already fiery part of this day. Supportive foods are, think complex carbs and proteins, quinoa, millet, instead of refined rice and legumes like moong dal. That's easier to digest. Also, incorporate iron-rich foods, greens, jaggery, etc. You might also think of having chamomile tea and that kind of a thing to calm the energy down. Understand this as you are being calm in the middle of a storm, okay? Ashtami. You have to guide yourself, obviously, but you have to do certain things in a calm manner. Something like a cat. They are calm, but they are extremely attentive. Avoid heavy foods and oily sweets. Typical, avoid meat, eggs, alcohol. Generally speaking, avoid it altogether on any tithi. Avoid caffeinated beverages so that you can keep your nerves calm. Too much caffeine or coffee or Starbucks will get you all wired up, which you can't handle. Post-fast meal, whether at midnight or Janmashtami or evening of Durgashtami, breaking a meal, something should be easily digestible. Everything should be easy on your stomach on this day. Ashtami diet is often about fasting or semi-fasting to purify. Then feasting in a measured way with some lighter foods. This pattern reflects the 8th tithi of Ashtami as intensity followed by grace. You got to make use of that. Prayers, less lighter foods on the side of that. Attitude towards receptivity and tuning into the divine feminine. All of these things will help on this day. Now let's see some specifics of Krishna and Shukla Ashtami. On the Krishna Ashtami side, like it's going towards winning side, so you have lesser mind power, as you can see highlighted on the pie chart there. So it's more about going fiercely inward. I would suggest do Sahasranamas of Lalita. Mystical, devotional and inwardly transformative is the energy of the day. Strong connection to grace, to playfulness and to surrender. It's a day for good bhakti, mantra chanting, inner joy through association or tuning into the divine. Whatever we call worship and how it is done even in the Vedic tradition today, for most part, is highly misinterpreted in my opinion. It is the act of worship or act of surrender is to reduce the ego and to tune into the higher aspects of you. You are the consciousness. Just that your ego and your mind seems to be getting in the way of things. What to do on this day? Krishna Janmashtami fast, kind of fasting the whole day. Midnight vigils, mantra chanting. Bhakti practices like kirtan or making puja of any sort, japa. I would recommend japa as more because I am more tuned to mantra japa. Devotional service, if you want to go and serve the people, offer them food. Introspective sadhana, meditation on divine grace. We live in times of tremendous divine grace, by the way. It's ironical that people don't see it. We have got plenty of everything these days. Imagine our ancestors with sticks and stones, how much they had to work right from the daybreak. Surrender-based rituals and prayers for transformation, that's also good on this day. What to avoid? Idle gossip, always avoid this. You're spoiling your Mercury people if you do idle gossip. Indulgence and neglecting devotion, avoid all of this. Over-attachment to ego or control, there you go. Just spoke of that. Ignoring intuitive guidance, your intuition or intuitive faculties on this day will be quite turned up naturally. For everyone, even the most dense creature. Suggested mindset is playfulness with devotion, joy through surrender. Trust in grace to transform challenges. Blend lightheartedness with deep reverence. Diet, fasting, fruits, milk, water is traditional on Janmashtami, even on Durgashtami to an extent. Light sattvic meals, if not fasting, fresh fruits, dairy and nuts. Avoid grains and tamasic foods, oily meat, alcohol and so on. Oily meat, alcohol is never a good idea in any case. In the Vedic tradition, it was never done. Anyway, next we shall see Navami Tithi. Take care, be safe.